Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Hello, listeners.
Hello, welcome to the HRV Hour. My name is Josh, and with me is...
I'm David Frey. Yes. Last time I checked.
Yes.
Yes.
Welcome, David Frey.
Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year. Welcome. Yeah, welcome to the show on this Thursday evening. Yeah, it's a new year.
2026.
Wow.
Wow. Already.
I know. How do you feel about it, David?
Good so far. I mean, we're, what, 2 weeks into it now?
Yeah.
So it's been a bit wet and cold.
Stormy. It is cold, yeah, in the UK. It's a bit cold.
Is it stormy on the cliffs where you live?
Very stormy. I live in Peacehaven, which is just a few miles out of Brighton, so it's a bit windy over there.
Mm. Anyway, we're not alone today, are we?
No, we've got the lovely Simon. I'm going to say it.
You're going to say it wrong.
I did think about it, Simon. I'll let you introduce...
Simon Madrill.
Madrill. How are you, Simon?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. 26 seems a bit odd because the last sort of couple of months of 25, I was focused on planning so many events that were in 2026. My brain had already gone to 2026.
Whereas normally it
takes like till mid-January to write the right date down.
Yeah, I wrote down 2026 for the first time on a prescription thing, actually, funny enough. But yeah, it's
an exciting year for me. And I was 60 in December.
Congratulations. Happy birthday for that. Yeah. It's a good landmark, I think. All those 50s and 60s.
It is. Well, we've got another landmark coming up, which we'll talk about soon.
Yeah, you're on the show to talk about your new ventures, aren't you? So that's a brilliant thing. We'll talk about that in a bit. So what have you been up to, David,
Sort of just surviving the betwixtmas and New Year holidays. I had a quiet time. It was a nice time seeing family, but a lot of travelling involved for over Christmas. And then New Year, I was in bed before midnight. I got slightly woken up by fireworks, but that's fine. I'm quite happy with that.
It's part of the celebrations for New Year, and you have to put up with the noise until certain time.
Yeah, I knew it was New Year because the cat suddenly shot off the bed when the fireworks went off.
Yeah, it's not nice. It's not nice for animals.
No, bless them.
I think all the train drivers had Christmas off as well, to be honest.
Oh, did they? Yeah.
But it's a good... I think New Year is, you know, a big build-up, and it's very stressful for people, Christmas and New Year. But then it's a new year, isn't it, to look forward to? And
it is, yeah. So you were DJing, weren't you, I believe?
On New Year's Eve, I was DJing at Dilf, which is a men's night, and they have them all over the country, but the Brighton one. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, had a good laugh.
Good.
Long night.
Yeah. So what did you play for the midnight song?
It was a song that was already... pre-prepared, so around each DILF that was on New Year's, they play that.
Oh, really?
It's a big, like 10
oh, it's their anthem,
And then we had Dave the Bear doing like a shout out and stuff, so it's good. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, good, good.
But I've been quite tired after all that, so it's nice to have a bit of a January's a bit of a quieter.
I must admit, it's taken some time to get back up to speed in terms of just getting back into the normal rhythm of life,
and we're allowed to do that, aren't we?
Are we?
Can we?
I didn't get the memo.
No, it's I didn't send it to you, but anyway, should we get on with the show?
Yeah.
Thanks. What we got on the show first, before we have our song?
We've got some great songs, some reworkings of some classic hits and some tracks you may not have heard of before. We have an interview with Simon Madrill. And he's going to be talking about what he's been up to and what he's hoped to be getting up to.
Yep.
That sounds very vague, doesn't it?
I'm not going to tell you everything
tempting our listeners.
Some stories all to do with HIV, obviously, because this is the HIV Hour, the world's longest running radio show and podcast about HIV. Yeah. And we have some community news about things that are happening within the local HIV economy, if you can call it that.
Economy? Yeah, it could be.
Community. Let's call it a community. It's not an economy.
And also a couple of stories from around the world.
Yes. I mean, you know, we value everyone listening from all around the world, so thank you for listening and carry on.
So, first song is, I love this song. There's an album that Sinead O'Connor did in the 90s called Am I Not Your Girl? And this is Love Letters. It's just a big band sound. It's great.
Mm.
See you on the other side.
Yeah.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Such a good song, I love that.
It is, yes. That was Love Letters by the lovely Sinead O'Connor, a cover of the Alison Moyet song, which I really enjoyed.
But Love Letters was done in Doris Day.
Was it really?
Yeah, I think it's a 40s song.
Oh, so many people have done it then. No. Yes, you're the music expert out of the two of us.
Yes.
I'm the waffler. Speaking of which, I've got some waffle to say. Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area and on DAB Plus Radio. And don't forget that a week after the show is broadcast, you can listen to it as a podcast without the music. So it's just us talking with our lovely guests.
Yes.
You can email us at info@hivhour.org.uk and our website is www.hivhour.org.uk. We are really pleased and proud to be sponsored by Jack Trussell Technologies, yes, who have been guests on the show before, and their radio station is sponsored by Wave Community Bank.
Absolutely.
So we're really grateful to sponsorship, because this is a radio station and show that is produced entirely non-for-profit. There are no adverts in it, and we do rely on donations.
We rely on donations,
and reverbathons,
yeah,
as they're called.
So if you feel like donating, which is, you know, always we're thankful for
yeah, it. Yeah. So if you're cutting down on coffee for New Year, yeah, just
go on the website.
Just go on the website and click on the donate button and give us the price of your coffee that you'd
normally
have.
Yes, so we appreciate that. Absolutely.
It helps keep the lights on here at HIV Hour Towers.
Yes. So we've got in the studio. We introduced Simon earlier, but
we did. So we have hello, Simon. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, hello. Always a pleasure.
It is. To have you on the show, not for you to be here, but. Yeah. So, what have you come on the show to talk about today?
Tell us about yourself, Simon.
Yeah. Why are you here?
Well, I think last time I was with Jonathan, wasn't Jonathan Blake?
That's
who,
it.
Who most people will know very well as Patient L1 from London Middlesex Hospital, and the work that I'm doing with him on basically writing his life story in his voice, which is ongoing. But we've had we published Patient L1, which we a pamphlet. We also did a lovely little limited edition pamphlet of called Joe and I Go Cruising. So after the miners' strike finished, Jonathan and Nigel, who were founder members of Lesbians and Gays Support the Miners, went on holiday to Egypt. And Nigel kept a holiday journal, which Jonathan knew about.
Yeah.
But it just disappeared into... And Jonathan did not see it for 37 years.
Wow.
When, after Nigel died, he went up to look at his papers to sort them out. And the first thing he saw was the black book with the red cloth bind on it. And he read the journal, and I created. So the book is actually a facsimile of pages of the journal.
Right.
But with then found poems written based on Nigel's writing. Little extracts from from the holiday journal, and that's going to be the middle of the book. So we did a limited edition of 100 of those. There's only about half a dozen of them left. But
well, can people get hold of them if they're interested?
Through my website, you can.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll talk about that at the end. We'll give out that information.
Yeah, that's it. You can see.
Oh, wow. It's a lovely thing to keep a journal of holidays, isn't it? Because I love keeping a diary, but it's, I find it, finding the time to do it and, you know, just getting the rhythm of doing it. I've kept them for years, and then I've had big, huge gaps, so I'm not currently keeping one. But to have one for a holiday, which is obviously a break from your normal life and the different sounds and sights and smells that you see.
Nigel was a good writer.
Yeah, really.
I mean, it was funded by Andrew Lumsden's Grand Camp Maisie Fund.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember Andrew Lumsden?
No, I don't actually.
So he's one of the original members of the first Gay Pride.
Oh, wow.
He was Gay Liberation Front.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And he died a few years ago and left some money, a fund of money to fund creative projects.
Right.
And we were lucky enough to get some funding towards my Jonathan Blake project. So one of the things it's funded was that pamphlet. But also it's helped us to engage with different HIV organisations through England.
Right.
So Jonathan and I went up to the George House Trust and had a fabulous evening with them, with their positive speakers and some of their positive speaker clients. So Jonathan read from Patient L1 and I read from what we'll be talking about soon as well. Rabbits, my debut poetry collection. And we're going to do a launch with in April with at the George House Trust to raise money for the George House Trust at Queer Lit. But we're also planning a trip to Sahir House, Liverpool, Brigstow in Bristol, doing something else again with Positive East, which we've also been visiting. So yeah, engaging with those five organisations. So it's a mixture of Jonathan and I going sharing our stories within like a workshop setting with their service users and clients. And in some instances, we're also doing doing a fundraising event. So telling Jonathan and my stories at sort of public readings that can raise money. So we're currently planning one for Manchester in mid-April, and we're also looking with Positive East to do one.
Wonderful.
It's just good to get it out in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's also nice to support the organisations and learn other people's stories, because a lot of the workshops, you know, it's not just Jonathan and I. We're like the main act, if you like, but then other people having the chance to share their stories as well.
And lovely.
It's great to you know, engage with other organisations outside of the South.
Yeah, absolutely.
And George House Trust do amazing work, don't they? And Positive East as well, both charities that I'm aware of that do great things.
Yeah. I'm saying Sahir House in Liverpool, Brigstow in Bristol. So we're excited about that. I say some of those things are coming up in springtime.
We'll get back on and talk about them.
You mentioned you've got a debut book out, and is this what do you mean by debut?
Well, so it's my debut collection, collection.
Right.
So in the poetry world, you have pamphlets,
right,
collections, and a collection is a proper book.
Right. Okay.
You know, like more than 50 pages usually.
Right, right.
You know, so mine's like, I think it's 99 or 100 pages.
Right.
Book, so it's like a proper book.
Yeah.
And it's called, what's it called?
Lamping Wild Rabbits.
Now I said, yeah.
Ooh, now I think I know what it is about. Yes, so what is Lamping Wild Rabbits?
Yeah, so I'm going to be, Lamping Wild Rabbits is when you go out, it's a way of hunting rabbits. Mm. So you basically have a battery, car battery over your shoulder.
A big lamp, is it?
And a big car headlamp.
Right, really. Yeah.
You go out into a field at night and you shine the lamp. And when you get, when you see a rabbit, you shine it in its eyes. The rabbit freezes.
Mm.
You usually have a lurcher with you.
Right.
The lurcher will jump along, grab the rabbit, bring it back. And you've got a rabbit.
Oh, right.
I mean, you don't have to use a lurcher, you can use a gun. But
yeah.
I've only ever done this once.
Let's just put that out. So we're not saying that you have to go and do it. We're not condoning this.
The funny story with it, though, was that when we did do it, lovely lurcher my cousin had called Peggy, you've got to keep your hand really steady.
All right. If it
goes off the rabbit's gaze, it'll be off.
Yeah.
Peggy bounces along, grabs a rabbit by the back of the neck, you know, like you grab a cat.
Yeah.
Bounds up all excited to us, in front of us, drops the rabbit. Rabbit hits the ground and off. So we spent 3 hours out in the middle of a cold field, failing to get one thing. And we were driving home, and I kid you not, all of a sudden there was a...
Oh, no.
Front left headlamp hit a rabbit. So we literally lamped a wild rabbit.
You did lamp a rabbit. I mean,
but we're not condoning that, are we, on this show? So,
but I love the catch and release program that you did.
It's just
sound
like,
effects.
Catching a carp or a roach or something in a lovely river.
So I mean, is this something that is particularly popular in the Isle of Man at that time? How old were you when this was going on?
I would have been probably very early teens.
Oh right, That sort of
youth,
full activity.
come from a sort of a farming background.
Yeah, so you'd have eaten the rabbit, so it's a way of hunting, as you
yeah,
say.
Yeah.
So why did you choose that as the title to the book?
I was going to do that earlier. The book.
It was actually chosen by the. It was chosen by the publisher.
Oh, right. Okay.
Suggested it. I mean, originally the title I come up with was Blue Spine, because the middle of it was poems about Derek Jarman.
Right, with his film Blue.
And that sort of it's come back in full circle, and it still is. The spine of the book is Derek Jarman.
Right.
We sort of went in a circle developing the manuscript.
Mm.
It sort of went from five parts, and then the publisher got rid of the last section because he thought it was the beginning of another book, really.
Right.
Which I think he was correct with. But cut a long story short, it went from 5 to 3, back to 5.
Right.
And when he came up with the idea of Lamping Wild Rabbits, it's one of his favourite poems in the collection. I suggest, well, why don't we call each of the sections something rabbits?
Mm.
Yeah.
You're gonna
read a poem, aren't you, for us?
Yeah, there, so. Yeah. So it goes. So it's in 5 parts. So it's going to be caged rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
Feral rabbits, wild rabbits, dungeness rabbits,
uh-huh.
and dead rabbits.
Right.
So they're the 5 sections. Right.
Dungeness being a reference to Derek Jarman.
Yes.
I'm guessing. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Derek Jarman and HIV.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So not all the poems are about HIV.
No. No. So the first section, which is the longest actually, the caged rabbits is more my story of growing up queer and overcoming that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, a lot of poems about shame and sexual awakening and lost loves.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Of that sort of thing. and then the feral rabbits is the real sexual awakening and how that sort of perhaps ended up
manifest.
Turning out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you want to read a poem?
Yeah, I can do.
Yeah.
So that section is sort of that period, if you like, prior to diagnosis, and then Dungeness Rabbits is about HIV, which includes this poem.
Mm-hmm.
Lamping Wild Rabbits. Chalking gravestones with dad, tracing family logic, inscribed fading ancestors, crumbling islands of stone. Polaroids of people gone, refaced for posterity, white powdered cheeks, dust marks death on my pants. Both watching gravestones falling out of the colour TV, tombs advertising AIDS cracking the mantelpiece, Rock Hudson's dynasty crashing the spotlight, those disowned corpses engraved nowhere to hide, like lamping wild rabbits, headlight executions reflecting my fear of myxomatosis spreading, swollen-eyed deaths of epidemic proportions discussed in armchairs with dad, puffing his care for island burrows. Ravaging wild rabbits, sea kale desolated at Prospect Cottage, like Derek. Sebastian and Caravaggio, my celluloid palliation in VHS. HIV, a greater rabbit-shocked fate, but still my gravestone stands, waiting, chiselled, painted peacock pink.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Well, thank you.
It's a very, very powerful, the words and everything, just brilliant.
It brought back lots of memories for me.
Yeah, it does,
doesn't
it?
References to, like, Rock Hudson, the government's tombstone adverts and...
That poem, or a slightly different version of it, was in my first ever pamphlet. But there's, there's 70 poems in the book.
Wow, wow.
But there's only about 18 of them that have been published in pamphlets.
Right.
11 of those are from the Derek Jarman pamphlet,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are different versions. Mm. But. And there are just an odd few, including Lamping Wild Rabbits, that are from my other work. So the few people who have read my other pamphlets are sort of in for a whole set.
In for
of
a surprise, yeah.
I was going to say, it's good to have in one collection, isn't it, all your work? So
No, my point is it's not.
Oh, okay.
My point is the previous work in the pamphlets isn't in this book.
Ah, right.
That's my point.
Right.
Only 17 of the 70 poems,
right, got you.
Have
sorry,
been in
sorry.
Other pamphlets.
Right.
So the middle section is that. So there are poems about me contracting HIV and being diagnosed with HIV, which were very, very hard poems to write.
I can imagine.
As I'm sure you can imagine. Yeah. So the middle of the book, sort of at the. At that stage, talks about that, the triptych of three quite long poems around my HIV, contraction of HIV, and trying to make sense of it, if you like.
Yeah.
And then poems like Lamping Wild Rabbits, there are some others that are from me, and then it sort of morphs into my... how Jarman was an inspiration for me, sort of coming to terms with living with HIV. So there are some poems that are sort of me talking to Jarman, but then there are other poems about Jarman, Dungeness, primarily Dungeness, and Jarman, and sort of reconciling and exploring HIV through through that lens. And then the book goes into Wild Rabbits, which is sort of, if you like, me post coming to terms with an HIV diagnosis,
having adjusted,
and how Jarman inspired me to create a garden that is inspired by him as well. So there are quite a lot of nature poems and reflections on mortality and coming to terms with mortality, which I think is something that most of us who have HIV have had to. Reconciled with in different forms,
in different ways,
depending when we were, particularly depending when we were diagnosed. But then it goes more into reflections on mortality and reflections on nature and things. Mm. So it's got quite a big scope.
Yeah,
with that
sounds like
that
it.
Central, the central premise being. My HIV and using Jarman as well to help navigate that.
Yeah, he was such an inspirational figure, Derek Jarman. I remember him because he was one of the first people I knew who admitted publicly that he was living with HIV and that he was going to die of AIDS. Nobody before that I'd ever seen had said that publicly.
He was the first famous person. To do
obviously,
so.
People had died before him, but he was the first person living with HIV that says, "Yes, I have HIV." And I'm going to die. And how he came to terms with his mortality through his art, through his films, and even not being able to see some of his films, like Blue, for example, when he lost his sight, was inspirational.
So some of the poems do. I mean, particularly two poems that sort of talk about HIV stigma that I might have read on here before. That use Jarman's words around that. There's one that's one of those poems that you can read, it's in two columns, so you can read it two different ways.
Yeah.
And it's my words on one side and Jarman's on the other.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's another one, a much shorter poem, that's about things that Jarman said in an interview with Jeremy Isaacs when he was quite soon after his diagnosis, where he was talking about why he revealed. Because revealed, I think, is better than admitted. Revealed that he was HIV positive and why he did that. And how for him, how for him it opened up, gave him freedom.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and I know for me, certainly, and he was a big inspiration of it. I sort of realised that I was in danger of going back into the closet, a different wad, it's a different shaped wad. But it was, you know, for 2 or 3 years I felt like I was reliving my teens and my 20s all over again, that there was a select set of people who knew and everyone else who didn't, and therefore that old filter of be careful what you say, and have you got a hospital appointment? Oh yeah, what's that for? You sort of, oh no, it's all right. It's just, you know, and all of that. It's sort of the liberation of going, just forget that.
The freedom. Yeah.
So I'm lucky that.
But you have to go through things like that.
Right on the back of it.
You have to go through things like that, though, don't you? To get through it again.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to start. We're gonna play. I was thinking just playing your track. Requested, and then we'll come back with your event at the Warriors, if that's okay. And
sure.
So, could you let our listeners know what song you chose?
Yeah, well, inspired by Derek Jarman, who made the video for this.
I didn't know that.
He did about almost a dozen pop videos in the.
Some of it was filmed locally, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
There were some. Yeah.
So it's a sin.
By the great Pet Shop Boys. Welcome back to the HIV Hour. That was It's a Sin by Pet Shop Boys, which was requested by Simon. So you've got an event coming up, Simon, haven't you? Which you're going to... A couple of events.
Yeah, well, we've got the formal launch of Lampy Wild Rabbits is on the 12th of February at the Betsy Trotswood near Farringdon in London. The Brighton launch is a week after on the 19th at the Walrus on Ship Street.
Great pub, that, actually, for that. Yeah, it's good.
I'll be with Naomi Foyle and Robert Hamburger for that. But we're also doing an HIV readings version. We're hoping to do one with Lunch with Positive East, which isn't planned yet, but we have a Lunch Positive one where I'll be reading all of the HIV-related poems within Lumpy Wild Rabbits. Oh. Jonathan Blake will be coming, reading for Patient L1. And Robert Hamburger, who's a Brighton-based poet, will be reading poems primarily about his two friends, Andrew Copus and Clifford, who died of HIV and had a strong Brighton connection. So he'll be reading from... And that's on the 12th of March at the Query. So that's in aid of Lunch Positive.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
But if you sort of go to... I'm Simon Madrill, all one word, 2 D's, 2 L's, on all social media. There's a LinkedIn bio in my LinkedIn.bio, and all of the events with links to the tickets are in that.
Okay, we can put that in the show description for the podcast, can't we?
Yeah. Brilliant.
Lovely.
Anything else you want to mention, Simon, before we have to go on to
other things?
Stories.
No, I mean, there's lots of other readings both online and in London. I'm also in Brighton again on the 26th of March at Kemp Town Bookshop.
Right.
So, say if you follow me on social media,
and we'll say them anyway over the next few shows, you can
find them. There's going to be a dozen or so of them, and some of them at different parts of the country as well. We're hoping to do April, we're going to do a launch in Manchester at Queer Lit, which will be in aid of George House Trust.
Brilliant.
So,
well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for coming on and telling us about
Thank you, and do stay around.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
So that's February, 19th of February, and other dates. So other dates are coming up. We have the Sussex Beacon have the half marathon, which is one of their biggest fundraising activities.
Yeah, it's a big one, isn't it?
That is on the 1st of March, but there's some celebrities involved in that. So Ollie Alexander from Years and Years and also an artist in his own right is actually going to be running in the race, along with comedian Zoe Lyons, who's a well-known...
Comedian.
in Brighton and Hove and nationally on telly. Yeah. And also there's people... Do you like Gladiators, the series?
No.
I used to
when I was young.
Yeah. But there's some great role models that host and take part in the show. And the Beacon are really pleased that Jamie Christian, also known as Giant, and... Chris Oliver, who's is not another not to do with the but Gladiators, but he's Chris Oliver is takes part in SAS Who Dares Wins, and he's involved as well, and other people as well. So if you can still get involved as a volunteer, as just a member of the public, cheering people on, because not only people run for the Sussex Beacon, but people run for their own personal causes. So it's a great day in the Brighton calendar. That's the 1st of March. But also recently, the Care Minister came to visit the Sussex Beacon, and that is Stephen Kinnock. So older listeners will remember or will know that Stephen Kinnock is actually the son of Neil Kinnock, who was a Labour Party leader back in the whenever it was
back in the day.
But Stephen is now a proud member of the current government, and he is the Minister for Care, and that includes hospices.
Yep.
So he came to visit the Sussex Beacon. So I'll just read this out. So this is from local news. So the Sussex Beacon shared its plans to become a dedicated LGBTQI plus hospice with HIV specialism. So Stephen met up with the staff there, and also the Beacon was visited by Chris Ward, who is the MP for Brighton and East Kemp Town, or is that Brighton East and Kemp Town?
And
Peacehaven, yes, as well. So Stephen Kinnock, he Minister of State for Care, he praised the Sussex Beacon's work and spoke with staff about the value of community-led services. Because, if we don't have proper hospice care, then you just get people languishing in hospitals.
Yeah.
And that's no place to die. And we all have to die. And it's conversations that people avoid having, but to do it with dignity in a safe space. And especially if you are LGBTQI+, just having that, where you are recognised for who you are, and not just what you are, but.
But THT and Marie Curie have been doing a lot.
Yes, they have indeed. Yes, yeah, so they've been doing a lot with end of life. They released a report just before World AIDS Day, didn't they?
Yeah.
A lot of work about. I can't remember the name of the report now offhand, but.
Obviously, hospices are really important, but equally
really important.
Equally, being able to be cared for at home if you don't need the level of care that a hospice gives, and that's something that Marie Curie can
help,
can offer as well, as that sort of the non-hospital but non-hospice care at home.
It's having options, isn't it,
those things you can rely on.
So I just found the press release. So commenting on his visit, Mr. Kinnock said, "It's been absolutely brilliant to be here at the Sussex Beacon. It truly is a beacon of hope for the LGBT community. It was wonderful to hear from service users today and the wonderful service they receive here, treated with compassion, dignity and respect, and it really does represent the best of our hospice sector." Rachel Brett, who we've had on the show before, who's the chief executive of the Sussex Beacon, said, "We're delighted to share the work of the Sussex Beacon with Stephen Kinnock, and we are looking forward to building on our legacy of specialist support for people living with HIV to provide inclusive and dedicated accessible care to our LGBT community." So, for accessible care, get there for people that need it. It's been a tough year for the charity because they closed their inpatient unit last year, but that we are steadfast in our commitments in meeting the palliative and end of life needs of those who experience the greatest health inequalities at a time when they need us most. So it's really good. So things like the half marathon do raise essential funds for getting that the Beacon working. I mean, don't forget the Beacon is still providing services, every day of the year to people living with HIV. So they've got hubs now in Crawley and Eastbourne, and obviously the centre at Bevendine Road provides day services. I'm a member of the mindfulness group, so that's it's great news to hear that the at least the government know about the Sussex Beacon and hopefully will be supporting them in their efforts to move on into the future.
Brilliant.
Have you got any news?
I have, yes. It's just a little one. It's a report by the Terence Higgins Trust about making HIV prevention PrEP available through community pharmacies in 2026.
Yeah. I mean, when you say community pharmacies, do you mean just any pharmacy?
It just says through community pharmacies. Okay. So, they want to do an HIV action plan to the government just to outline that PrEP is really important to get there out in the community, really, I think. And so currently most people who access PrEP through sexual health services, but the report highlights that many people at risk of HIV either cannot go to the clinics or can't attend due to stigma. Mm. And we've talked about it on this show before. So community pharmacies, which are widely used, locally based and open for longer hours, could offer a more convenient and discreet route. So they say it could be a game changer for rural gay and bisexual men and the black communities across the country. So people who can't, like we're in Brighton, we're very lucky, aren't we? Mm. But there's a lot of people who live in countryside who can't.
Yeah, of course. And PrEP is part of sexual health services, and that, again, there is the stigma. I used to get tested regularly for STIs and things like that at the local STI clinic in all the cities that I've lived. But you know, some people can't do that. So to have them in to have PrEP available in pharmacies is brilliant. Where you could just nobody knows that you're popping in for PrEP. You could just be popping in for cough sweets.
Yeah, exactly. So the report is published as demand for PrEP continues to grow.
Great.
I know Shaka, which is the Sussex Health, HIV and sexual health, they are promoting it. They've got certain days, which I'll probably mention in a bit, if you want to, if you're interested in getting PrEP. There's about 11,000 people accessing it via sexual health services. So there's a lot, and there's a lot of people who, because of stigma, it won't go. Should we have a song? Because we are getting close to things to do. So
right, yeah, sure.
You've chosen a lovely song, David.
So this is Palo Santo, and I dedicate this to Josh. And it's by Years and Years, so Ollie Alexander when he was in a group. So Palo Santo is a wood that he burns for inspiration. It's like an aromatherapy thing. So I think it really means Saint Paul or something
that. It's called Holy Wood actually.
Holy Wood.
I've got it at home and it's such a nice smell. Right. It's like
not only did I dedicate it to you, knowing that you're a bit of an aromatherapist, that you've got some yourself already.
Yes, thank you very much. Ooh,
play away.
Here we go. And I can hear your voice. Oh, that's a good track.
It is, isn't it? I like Years and Years. And I like Ollie Alexander too.
Yeah, it's good. Welcome back to the HIV Hour.
Mm-hmm.
We're on 97.2 FM and RadioReverb.com online. Mm-hmm. And obviously our podcast, you can listen to us at your own pleasure.
Yeah, in your car, in your shower, in the bath.
When you go to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, my voice does that. It does some people
I was thinking about that. Yeah.
We've still got nodded off when we were talking.
No, I wasn't. I was doing it like I said to you in the break when nobody was listening. I'm doing my job.
Nodding, yeah.
I'm doing the job of producer.
Anyway, what you got to tell us about it, Josh?
Anyway, the Sussex Beacon, you were talking about that earlier, David. They did a World AIDS Day quiz at the Smugglers Rest, which is in Peacehaven.
Oh, I know it well. I've been there a few times.
Yeah, it's a nice pub, actually.
Nice pub.
So they did one for the World AIDS Day, but they're doing another one for coming up, which is going to be on Thursday the 29th of January.
Okay.
So Smugglers Rest is in Telscombe.
Yeah.
And buses are quite frequent, aren't they, along there?
They are. So you can drink and bus.
Yeah, so if you're interested, all proceeds go to Sussex Beacon.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a team, it's maximum of six. Mm-hmm. Entry is free, and the winning team will enjoy, an effervescent end to their evening.
Sparkling wine.
As a result of their efforts. I don't know what that means.
Fizzy something.
Yes.
Fizzy water, in my case, it would be.
So if you want, you're interested, because we're going to do a team, aren't we?
We are.
So,
so if you fancy competing against the masterminds that Josh and I are in a pub quiz...
It's about midget.
Get in touch with Smugglers Rest. Yeah. I think they've got. Have they got a Facebook profile or?
I'm going to tell you. So to book a table, go to vintageinn.co.uk, mm-hmm. Table booking. And in the there's a special request thing. If you just say we're here for the quiz, and that'll let them know that you're doing the quizzes. If you're eating there, obviously.
Well, so. Of course, yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't
you
say
don't
what
think
time
you have to eat, do you?
No, I mean, no. Just turn up. But yeah. I'm not sure what time it starts. So we've booked it for 6 to eat. So yeah. I assume it's about
the food
seven.
Is good there, I must
oh, yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, yeah. Try it out.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's that on the 29th of January.
29th of January. Yeah. Did you say there was something on the 31st of January?
This, oh yes, I'm just about to read that. We'll have to find it.
Right.
It's the oh there it is. A friend of ours who's been on the show, Alf.
Alf Lefloic.
Yeah, Lefloic. Yes. He's starting doing a exhibition for the Sussex Lancers. Now, do you remember? You know, the Sussex.
So
Lancers?
They were a leather and motorbike group in the 1980s when I first moved to Brighton. Mm. I was aware of the Sussex Lancers. Yeah.
So it's Prints and Drawings Gallery at the Brighton Museum, and it starts at the 31st of January to the 12th of April 2026. And mm-hmm. it's a this display traces the story beginning in the early 1960s when two tailors opened Filk and Casuals on Bond Street in Brighton, producing bold and unconventional menswear. It follows the spirit of defiance into the Sussex Lancers Motorsports Club, which was active from 1980 to 2001.
Right.
Across Brighton's nightlife and the Sussex countryside. So through leather, fetish, gear, clubs, motorbikes and the open road, the Lancers formed a community which navigated prejudice, HIV and AIDS.
Mm.
So this is photographs by Anthony Edwards to present a contemporary view of the Sussex leather scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it's created by Alf. So right. Alf's going to come on the show probably next week, next
well,
show,
nice
just to talk
yeah,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I was asked to do a little playlist. So as you walk around looking at the photos in the museum, you have songs that's related to that era.
Oh, right. Because I do remember the Sussex Lancers as a body of men, because I used to work at the Beacon Royal, which was the largest gay hotel at the time. And they used to meet there occasionally, and I think they moved to a bar called Schwarzbar and then to Village.
Yeah, so it's
They moved around from venue to venue. But yeah, they were very iconic, sort of Tom of Finland-looking leather men.
Yes.
Yeah. Quite daunting for a little chicken like me that I was back in the day. Yes. Can you imagine me as a little chicken?
I was
a scrawny little
I've imagined you in many things.
Yeah, yeah. I was.
Moving on.
I was a scrawny little chicken.
You know, it's good to look back, isn't it?
Yeah.
Things. What do you think, Simon? Yeah. Have you heard of this the exhibition with Alf's doing?
Yes, I have, yeah. It's, he's a man I need to talk to, actually.
He's good at curating things. So he did a lovely.
The first thing that came to mind when you mentioned bikers, though, was Pillion.
Right. Oh,
I haven't seen that yet. No, I'm dead to see that.
That's a whole discussion in itself.
Is it? Right.
It's another show.
Okay. We should do an arts review programme. Yeah. HIV related or gay related.
So check that out. But we'll have Alf on the show to have a little natter next time. A bit of community news.
Yeah, so the next, I've got another date in your calendars, dear listeners. So it's a Wednesday, the 28th of January at 6 p.m. at the Lawson Unit. There is the patient panel meeting. So I do remember on the last episode we had the fantastic Alan Spink on the show. Who had a discussion with you about pancreatic insufficiency.
Yes.
The patient panel have invited a guest to come on to the panel and talk about pancreatic insufficiency. That's a medical student called Fahad. So he's going to be talking about exocrine pancreatic insufficiency in people living with HIV, a clinical audit. So it's a presentation and discussion on results. So that is the patient panel. So they meet the patient panel at the Rawson Unit is obviously a panel of patients, and we get together and we talk about all things to do with the Rawson Unit. All sorts of things like, you know, do we use our clinic number or do we use our hospital number? We review leaflets. We sort of hear talks from members of staff about the types of care that are coming down the pipeline to us. So if you're interested in getting involved in and providing feedback about the Lawson Unit, I thoroughly recommend that you join the patient panel. And we're always looking for new members. And we actually do, it's the panel that produces the Lawson Unit newsletter, of which myself and Nigel are the editors of. So 28th of January, if you go to the BrightonSexualHealth.com website, BrightonSexualHealth.com, that is the link for all things to do with sexual health, and the Lawson Unit There's a link on there and search patient panel and you'll find the details of how to come along, because I think, you know, there are not too many people turning up at once.
No. Such an important thing that I'll come personally speak.
To manage numbers.
From a personal point of view.
We'd love to have you join us on that date. So that is Wednesday, the 28th of January at 6 p.m. Good.
Great. THT, I just thought I'd talk about their outreach facility they do. So they are at Brighton Sauna every Wednesday evening from 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. The R Bar, which is on the seafront, every Thursday evening from 6 till 9 p.m. At these sessions, they provide full HIV and STI testing. And on the second Thursday of every month at the R Bar, they work with a shack to provide PrEP to clients too. So that's a great another place you can get PrEP as well. Talk about it.
Oh yes, Terence Higgins Trust in Ship Street, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's their
offices. But yeah, they do go on the show on the road show.
Yeah, they're having a new evening testing clinic at their office at Ship Street, like you said, every Tuesday between 6 and 9.
Mm.
So, unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the show. So we had lots of other things.
We did. We'll have to save them for next time.
We'll have to do it at the next show.
Yeah.
So, we really appreciate you listening. And also for people who listen to the podcast that are around the world in countries that are difficult to talk about HIV, we have listeners there, and we really appreciate it, and we send our love.
We even do have listeners, and thank you for listening, that come from places where the internet is controlled or monitored, such as China and other such countries. So we're so glad that you find us and you do download our podcast and listen to us. And if you want to, you know, if there's a way of you getting in touch with us, please do get in touch. If you just want to say, give us a thumbs up or
thumbs down,
we want more presenters less like David and
the ones that don't.
Or music requests. You know, I'm being silly here, but it's your show, listeners. We are a part of your community and we loved hearing from you.
We're just an empty vessel, aren't we?
Yes, fill us up with ideas because I'm spent.
So Simon, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you coming on. You're always a pleasure to come on the show. I love when you do your poetry. It's so nice. It's just so good to listen to it, and it's great. So, and good luck with the events coming up. We will be sharing it
at the Walrus
on next shows as well. Yeah. So
brilliant. Thank you so much.
No, you're very welcome. We're going to finish another one of your tracks.
Yes.
Another one.
Yes. So is this one with a funny name?
Yeah, I'll let you say it, David, because
this is from an advert you may have seen on telly, and a couple of companies use it. So the song is called Prise and Call and Ensign El Suzol. All right.
Say that again, please.
So Prise and Call and Ensign El Suzol.
Yeah, it's a good try. I didn't really listen to it today, but
you'll recognise it. Nice, there's good harmonica in it.
Yeah. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in a couple of you'll hear us in a couple of weeks.
Cheerio.
Cheerio, bye.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.